Excellent. All right. Our next speaker, Chris McCann, is going to lead us into what the future might hold for the teams competing today. Chris is an entrepreneur and a lifelong student of multidisciplinary learning. Chris led the entrepreneurship program at his college. Hi. How's it going? well. What's weird that you're standing here already? Okay. So anyway, Chris led the entrepreneurship programs at his college, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. He founded and sold his first company, Startup Digest, and he helps advise and mentor for the Thiel Fellowship, Singularity University, and StartX programs. He's also the CEO of GroupTie, a platform that helps organizations manage large external networks. And I'd also like to welcome Catherine Krim from Microsoft to join Chris on stage for a bit of Q&A. Great.
Thank you, Laura.
I'm going to hand him that mic.
Why don't we give him... I'll let you sit comfortably.
This is what I mean, like LinkedIn bio, like reread to me while I'm sitting down.
That's great. And I can stand and ask you a lot of questions, and you can sit comfortably if you like. So, Chris, it's really interesting to hear about your background. Obviously, you have quite the experience of a lot of the students pitching today would be interested to follow in some of those footsteps. One thing that, as they're thinking about their next steps, and you reflect back on your early steps with Startup Digest, what are the best decisions you made along the way that helped you get that founded and get it acquired?
Probably the best one is I threw all my stuff in my car the day I walked for graduation, and I drove up to Silicon Valley with absolutely no idea with what I was going to do. being here, it really, really forced me to be sort of outside of my comfort zone, mm-hmm. and it really, really, really forced me to like look outside and try and figure out what I wanted to do. If I would have moved back home or like moved in with a friend, I would have been like way too comfortable. I probably would have got a job. I probably would have did something else. So really like truly like forcing yourself out of your comfort zone very abruptly and very quickly helped me. And like if you're sort of if you like to procrastinate and if you're not really sure this going down this path, like that was one thing that really helped me sort of in the beginning. So probably not the safe option for everybody, but helped me a lot.
Come up forward with me just a little bit. Okay. So that way you don't have the projector on your forehead. Great. Awesome. So what decisions would you make differently today than you made when you were first getting started?
Don't incorporate in California.
Honest. Okay. What else?
What do I would have done differently? When I was in college, like it's super impressive, like what you guys have done. Like you guys are actually like going through companies, like talking to customers, all that good stuff. Like at my university, like entrepreneurship was like super young and like super new. Like there was probably like five or six of us that was like interested in the stuff at all. If you can, like while like during college, you're in this really like really really good position where like you don't really have a lot of responsibilities. Like you're probably not married. You probably don't have kids. You probably don't have a mortgage payment. And you don't really have to worry about, like, working for, a money or a job. Like, you usually have, like, some sort of financial support. So while you sort of have that time, like, I would experiment, like, as much as possible. I probably didn't do that nearly enough. So I'd, like, really, 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 like, truly, like, push yourself during that time period. Because once you graduate, you usually have, like, a clock ticking. And usually you have to like figure out what you actually want to do. So sort of use that time like much, much in a more valuable sort of while you have it.
Okay, great. So tell us about success factors that you've, what have you learned that has made you successful from your first one to your second one, from Startup Digest to GroupTie?
Also a good question. The first one was very different. So the first one, it was the very typical, like, me and a co-founder working at our house. Like, we were really poor. Like, we had no idea what we were doing. We were sort of in the darkness, if you will, for a very long time. the second one, we had a much, much, much clearer picture. We had customers. We knew the product. We knew the problem space really well. We pretty much started with a team of almost four people. And then we took all the proceeds of the sale of the first company, and that sort of started the second one. I would say, like... if I had to like back up and like sort of what I learned like differently is like you kind of like gotta like truly 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 like push yourself to like making whatever you're doing like a really 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 big business, and you gotta take that really seriously. I think it's like easy to kind of get caught up in the like, oh, I'm doing something cool, like I'm doing a startup, when like running a business, it's not always like the funnest thing in the world to do. Like, You know, they always talk about like the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, and like sometimes you feel like, you know, really down, and sometimes you feel awesome, and you kind of just got to like throw yourself in there, and you can't like, you don't want to spend like too much time just like hanging out or figuring out. You want to cut down that time as much as possible. So that's why I say, like, you know, while you have some time in college, like, try and really, really figure out like what's the business going to be behind this. Because if you can solve a lot of those problems before you start to do it, you'll just cut the learning time you have to do by so much instead of trying to figure out why you do it.
Okay, great. So for the benefit of our audience here, mostly students, but others, and also our online audiences, if you were in the student's shoes today, what would you think were your next steps be tomorrow, next week, maybe for the next 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
What would you go do?
Actually, like, I think Duncan's, he's asked a lot of these questions. It's a really good one. Like, whatever your idea is, like, think of the minimal product. Like, what's the fastest, quickest thing you could possibly put out there? And just do it really, really fast. And make sure you get it out to, like, a hands of, like, a real customer. Like, somebody who's going to buy it or somebody that's going to make the decision. And it doesn't even have to be a fully fledged product. It could be, like, screenshots or a product mock-up or, like, even if it was just, like, the concept board idea. Like, the faster you can get it out to like the hands of people who are actually going to use this and buy it from you, the much, much faster you'll learn. So if I was like going to do this back with myself in college, I would take this much more seriously and like start actually like experimenting with like the business stuff at a much, much earlier sort of time point. So that's what I would probably do first. And move up here, I guess.
Great, and move up here. So I'd like to invite all of our judges up to come up for a moment. We've got 4 more of you here. Yeah, you can get comfortable. And really what I'm going to ask you to do is take a moment to reflect on the teams that you've seen today. So just for the period of time, we can go in any particular order. You don't have to start, Chris. And I'd just like to each have you take a couple of moments to say, for all the teams collectively that you saw today, what would be your best piece of advice to go forward?
All right. I'll give it my stab. So I've been super impressed. I think there's two things which are kind of shocking in some regards and impressive in another regard. The first thing is how quickly you can get so far in building a company with no money, no resources, while you're still at university. It's just fantastic at the development some of these companies have already got to within day one or before even day one starts for a lot of you. The personal advice piece from starting a company, I think it all comes down to team and environment. It doesn't matter how successful your company is, you are going to constantly rely on your team. And even successful companies, just once, when you get through being a startup, you know, from naught to a million, it seems like an impossible task until you get to that first million of revenue. But when you're trying to get from 1 million to 5 million, it seems like it was the easiest thing to get to 1 million. And when you're trying to get from 5 million to 10 million, it always just seems like it's getting harder. And constantly, if you're successful, you're going to rely on the team around you. And you look at some of the best companies out there, it is all about that founding team. So take that incredibly seriously with who you partner up with now, because they will be defining your success. And the other part I'd say is the environment. And Chris talked a little bit to this. There is no doubt in watching what I do at Rocketspace and watching hundreds of companies come through, you are a product of your environment, okay? So take your environment seriously. Now, we're lucky here in Silicon Valley. We live in an environment which is highly driven by innovation and pumped up people trying to do big projects with technology. But it doesn't matter what product or what company you're trying to create, somewhere around the world, there are the best people working on that. And if it's in technology, it probably is going to be here in a technology cluster. But it could be in sport. It could be in anything you choose to do. Go and find who is leading that industry and hang out with them, because it will speed up your development so miraculously. If you could imagine being a football player and throwing a football, American football, I should qualify, throwing an American football around in your backyard. Compare that to going to hang out with the 49ers and training with them on a day-to-day basis. It's just going to raise your performance. So whatever you choose to do and whatever business you choose to get into, go and hang out with the very best people you can in working on that business.
So I've been likewise very impressed by a lot of the teams here, and I have one incredibly pretty piece of generic advice for all the folks here. And that is to talk to your co-founders in depth about the kind of culture you want to build at your company. Any team can do this very easily, and just write down the top 1 to 10 things that you think really embodies the culture of your company. And a lot of people take this to mean, oh, we're going to turn down or reject that really great developer because he's kind of a jerk. And that's not what I mean. That's too easy. You should, of course, do that. But what I mean is try to like write down what you care about and be consistent. Do you want the people who join your company to treat this company as their whole life? Do you want them working nights and weekends because they're so passionate about it and they care so much about it? If so, you need to give them a lot of equity and make sure they're very well compensated. And you have to hire people that want to do that. You can't hire people who want to work 9 to 5 if you want a team of people that gets in at noon and leaves at midnight. Likewise, if you want a team that really values work-life balance, hire that team and cultivate that culture. I see a lot of founders get into business together because one of them is a good engineer, the other one's a good business student, and they end up fighting because they don't have an agreement on those very basic things, right? Do you want to have alcohol at work? Do you want to have lots of offsites? Do you want to have team dinners? Or do you want people to go their separate ways? Right? Do you want people to be friends with each other? Or do you want people to be coworkers? And I don't think one's a good culture or a bad culture. The only real bad culture at a company is when there's an inconsistency with what the founders think with each other and what the founders think with the team.
Really good point.
I was really impressed with the pitches. All of you guys should get prizes on public speaking, and the decks looked amazing, so congrats. I would say that, as a general comment, one of the most overvalued components of a startup when you have a small team is the idea. You think you have a really cool idea and you fall in love with it even before you really question and challenge yourself on whether it's solving a problem that's important in reality. But also, similarly, the most underappreciated part of making a startup successful is on the distribution and actually understanding the customer. And we see this a lot with early stage companies where you go through the idea, you're excited, you describe the market size, and then it will get distributed and everybody will be using our application. And that gap is the hardest to do well in as a startup. So I would challenge you all to really think hard on how to understand the motivation of the customer and how that product solves the problem of the motivation and the distribution channels. And overall, I think in seeking feedback, I love it when people tell you, go out and seek advice from people, listen to the customer. The truth is that everybody will tell you something different. Even within the judging panel, if you listen to the feedback, sometimes it's not consistent. So what do you do with that, the fact that people are telling you different things? Information management and decision making is really important in a startup. So have really clear rules on that overarching goal. Like, where do you want to go? Do you want to solve a problem in the world? Do you want to become rich? And have very simple rules that will help you filter the information you get and make decisions really, really fast. And very often, the toughest critics are going to be your most important helpers in the process. It's much better to have somebody tell you, I love your idea. Go for it, you're awesome. But we, even within the judging panel, we were the harshest with the teams that were in spaces that we knew really well. So when somebody comes to you and tells you a piece of feedback that's very specific, sometimes it's tough love and they give you some negative feedback, I would grab onto those people and ask them more questions because they will save you 3, 4, 6 months in the process.
I kind of gave mine already, so I guess I'll give my second one. Actually, it's kind of touched upon by sort of everybody on here, but another thing I sort of generally think about is in startups, the hard stuff tends to be much more overvalued than the soft, touchy-feely things. So what I mean by that is like in startups, like people tend to think about the product, the idea, the engineering, the infrastructure, the logic, and they tend to like overvalue that to a really, really high degree. Most likely because a lot of people in the startup world tend to be much more engineering and logical minded, and we sort of think of that as like the really, really important stuff. But when you're really down in the trenches, some of this more touchy-feely stuff becomes much more important. The culture, the vision, the people, the distribution, the marketing, the story, all that sort of stuff. is actually really, really, really important. And making sure, not saying like sort of to, sorry, I didn't get your name. What was your name?
Ben.
Getting to Ben's point, not one's like bad or worse than the other, but making sure everybody's on sync with the stuff is the most important thing. The worst thing in the world is if you have two co-founders and both of them have completely different ideas of what they're building. If you put them in a room together and give them funding, bad things tend to happen. So I would sort of think about more of all that soft stuff that goes into building a business and like sort of make that with a little bit more emphasis than just the pure hard stuff.
Thank you. Great feedback. I actually would like to open up to our leaders, Matt and Mark, to also give their piece of advice since they're here with us today. So come on up.
I'd love to.
All right.
I have lots of advice. But actually, it's not that different from what you heard. But I will say one thing. So we talk about the hard stuff. We talk about the perception of what's hard. Is it the, you know, is it the community that you build inside your company? Is it that culture? Is it the engineering piece? And I would say, because we live in Silicon Valley, we do tend to overemphasize the technology. But I will tell you that there are lots of really simple ideas that do extremely well in the startup space that then get surpassed. One of the things I was really, really interested in hearing about is the number of you that had looked at how do I protect the technology I put in there. And this is not a debate on software patent rights or anything else. I don't know if any of you saw the story in New Zealand last week, banned software patent rights. They said they're no longer legal. That was an interesting thing. Not going to give an opinion, right? Good, bad, or otherwise. But the point is that if you can't innovate with from a technology perspective and potentially a business model faster than your competition, you will get eaten alive. So it's about speed of execution. Depth of technical execution, big advantage. If you can be better, you can be deeper, you can be faster.
Mark, you want to give some?
You'll all meet Mark Kinsbo in just a little bit.
Well, I've both had a startup and worked in big corporations, and I think one thing we should remember is we're all pretty blessed, the ones that are here. And whether you go to work in a startup or somewhere else, right, it's where you're going to probably, at least if you're ambitious, you know, just to step on this stage, you're probably pretty ambitious and driven, right? And there are many ways of expressing that. That means that you're going to spend a ton of time doing what you do, make sure that it's something that brings a little bit of a smile to the face. There are certainly bad days and everything. You know, those of you who've done expense management, or if you do a startup, you need to figure out, you know, I have to have a bank account, and do I pay, you know, if you get a little money, do I pay salaries every 14 days or 30 days or whatever? It really doesn't matter, but there are tons of, you know, just, you know, those decisions that might not bring as much of a smile to your face. Make sure that whatever you're doing, you know, brings a ton of smiles to your faces. Have a lot of passion. Otherwise, don't do it. You're going to spend way too much time for it not to be fun. So that would be my, you know, big advice. Once it starts being fun, stops being fun, you know, time to figure out what's next.
Thank you. And please let us thank you, all your judges. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the team.
You good?